Hello, welcome to the podcast. That was a weird hello, wasn't it?
It was a bit sick.
That's a very radio intro.
Hello.
Sick.
Yeah, you sound like you had...
Hello.
Sounds like you work on one of those university stations.
Hello. That's more us, isn't it?
Yes, that is
That's
us.
More Frank Walker, isn't it? Yep. Hello. National Tile.
National Tile.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's borrowed that from Jerry. Jerry speaks a bit like that.
He's got a bit of a Frank Walker... Frank Walker has
Jerry
a bit of a Jerry Harvey.
Original.
Okay. Yeah.
That Aussie. We'll save you.
Who's that, John?
Simons.
Simons.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite sound like that, but you know what I mean.
Very nasally. Well done. What were you talking about? Why were we talking about food?
Because I get disappointed that only certain foods come out at certain times, like the Christmas nuts, or why can't we have hot cross buns all year round?
Plenty of nuts around Christmas. They all come out.
We're not talking about some people's family members. We're talking about...
What nuts?
Those red ones.
Yeah.
The candied nuts.
Yeah.
They're the only red nuts I know of, other than betel nut, which I doubt if you're chewing.
Yeah, just nuts with like the husk on or...
No, the red ones.
The
ones
red candied nuts.
The candied ones.
Yeah.
You can get them all the time.
Where?
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, but I feel like they're only acceptable on Christmas.
Anytime I'd go to Manly on the ferry when I was young, I'd have those candied peanuts. They sold them on board.
Beautiful.
Really nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what about
Christmas
the hot cross
cake?
Bun?
Christmas cake is fantastic.
Are you talking the pudding?
No, I'll go the pudding and the cake.
What's Christmas cake?
Christmas cake, fruit cake.
Do you mean fruit cake?
Christmas cake.
It's the worst cake, man.
Oh,
mine.
You know?
Every birthday, my nan would make the driest fruit cake.
Well, there is a trick to making it not dry.
Well, can you tell her?
You inject brandy into it. Oh. My mother used to inject about 4 bottles into one.
Yeah, right.
Everyone was smashed
and you
after
had,
finishing it.
You had
it.
These as a child?
Yeah.
And it explains this.
Never did me any harm.
Okay. So you think.
But why do only certain foods come out on certain times?
Because that's the beauty of it.
Is it?
It's scarcity.
Christmas ham.
Yeah, because you get excited for it.
The pigs don't like it much.
No.
They hate it. But if you were having ham off the bone all year, it wouldn't be special at Christmas.
But how good is the Christmas ham?
Oh,
yeah, because it's only available at Christmas.
And then you're still having it on Australia Day.
I like to think I know how to carve a Christmas ham.
How?
Well, you just slice the big chunks off the bone first, and then you can cut across the grain and get the nice thin slices.
Yeah.
Rather than having looked like, you know, an axe murderer has attacked it.
Well, that's how everyone cuts it, I would have thought.
And how nice on a nice fresh bread roll with lots of butter.
Yeah.
Oh.
I had a box of ham going one year for, I reckon, a month. Just a box of ham.
Yeah.
I loved that. I loved that box. Yeah. I loved that box.
Okay.
Hey, big old show. There was plenty on as he scours for a rundown.
Yeah.
Crash Craddock, join us.
Well, I love Crash.
To have a look at the...
Crash is like having a conversation with just a good mate over, you know, a quiet ale or something in the pub about the cricket. He just has a manner.
Well, veteran journo. I mean, he's been doing it for years.
Do you think this time next week we're going to be talking about the Australian team in the final?
Yes. I think Australia can win.
I don't.
I do.
No
Brendo,
offense. No offense.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I would love them to win, but I just think India are way too strong, especially in India, which they've proven over years and years and years.
But no team has ever gone through undefeated.
Yeah. And,
okay,
it can happen. You know what the nature of one-day cricket and 2020 cricket, the short-form cricket is like? You catch on fire for a couple of hours and the game's out of reach.
Mm. I wanted to ask you, because you were going on deluxe about Glenn Maxwell's innings.
Oh, I love that innings.
No, you wax lyrical about it all week.
Yep.
And I just wanted to play devil's advocate for a second. With, I think, my own beliefs, I think I feel this way. Is it as special, even though it was against Afghanistan? I mean, they're a minnow cricket nation.
How very dear.
I'm just asking the question. No,
they were going to smash us.
Yeah, I know.
Not
but
just
they should
beat us. They were going to pull our pants down.
And we shouldn't have been in that position.
That's right.
That they are not a bad side. They were, I don't know if they still are, vying for a spot in the semi-finals. I think we finished them off. But they were there to pull our pants down on the day.
Hmm.
We were 7 for 91 and Maxwell took it from there to nearly 300 and won the match.
Yeah, but it's like, that's good. He should have.
Did you watch his innings?
Glimpses. It looked very impressive.
I watched the stream that they've got on Fox, which is free, twice.
Mm.
How good would it be if New Zealand beat India in the semi-finals and we smashed South Africa and then we have a replay of the 2015 final, Australia-New Zealand, and which we won.
Yeah, and we'll smash again.
Yes.
That could happen.
People are saying it was the best knock they've ever seen.
Do you
agree?
Knock?
Do you agree?
It's the most...
backs
against. Wasn't chanceless, but how many innings of 200 in any form of cricket is not chanceless?
So that was my other point.
If he was dropped on 24.
He was dropped on 33. Always,
but I feel like that's what happens. Even with David, when he plays and has a really good innings, they get dropped. They get a bit of luck and then they go on to.
My argument is, though, Candice, if it was a more, if it was a superior team, they would have caught that.
Oh, that's just narky. That's just being. You're just being.
But you could also say if it was
needling
a superior team,
agitating.
They would have bowled differently.
Yes.
Look.
Would have bowled him out for less.
You've got to put this in context.
Have you got something for Glenn Maxwell?
No, not at all.
There was no chance of us winning that match. Unless he catches fire and scores 200,
and don't forget
which he does
stage,
on one leg.
He was 40 or 47 or something. So,
and I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Context.
And I'm just asking the question. That's all.
I bet you're bit of a Christmas Grinch as
well. He was dropped on 24. You know, he was given out on 27.
Okay.
LBW.
Yeah.
And somehow that machine decided that it was going over the top. It looked as plumb to me.
This is what I mean.
And to Maxwell.
So this is what I mean, right?
Yeah, but he still went ahead and did what
he still did it.
Yes.
He still did it.
But that's what I mean. I don't think it was the greatest knock ever.
If it was that easy, everyone would do it.
Don't listen to Brendan. Don't listen to Brendan. Go onto Fox. I think it's still there. It was there last night. They have the free stream of his innings. Watch it and tell me it's not the greatest innings you've ever seen.
I'll go and do it too.
Yep.
You're not going to do it.
No, I'm not.
The race is
right. You're absolutely right. I've got races to watch. Enjoy the podcast. We're approaching the pointy end of the ODI Cricket World Cup. Let's have a look at the lay of the land with veteran cricket journo Robert Crash Craddock. You can read his gear in the Daily Telegraph. You can see him on Foxy's bloody everywhere. And he's right here, right now. Good morning, Crash.
Nice to talk to you, Candice, Richard and Brendan. What a great little finale we've got coming up in the World Cup.
Oh, it is our privilege to talk to you, Crash. Now, before we get on to what's happening in the World Cup per se, I want to talk about this innings that Glenn Maxwell put together. I look at it this way. I reckon it's like Cathy Freeman's 400 or Mackaybe Diva's third Melbourne Cup. It's something that I'll never see again in my life.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Richard. And look, Adam Gilchrist made the point, and I must admit it was a very good one, that it could actually save that format. And that's a big statement, isn't it? But the 50-over game had been in decline. It lacked a sort of certain sizzle to it. And suddenly you get an innings which is totally unique to that sort of format. You wouldn't see it in tests. You wouldn't see it in 2020, a double century. And there it is. So the ramifications of it are in the streets around the world. Andrew McDonald was saying that he had feedback that already that a lot of young kids are trying to play the ramp shot the last two or three days. So there's very few innings in cricket that leave such a scorch mark as this. Correct, mate? Yeah.
Crash, it's quite funny. Like he gets knocked out in concussion, doesn't play, goes and gets 200. And now there's talk that maybe he might not play in this afternoon's game. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I'm hearing that they might rest him because it's an inconsequential game, Candice. Of course, Australia have qualified for next Thursday night semi-final against South Africa. So I probably would rest him, I have to say, given what it took out of him. But it was interesting. I heard him talk about it afterwards, Candice. I didn't realise the science that went into his play. Like, he was talking about how he would do the reverse sweep to get a guy behind point. And that left a gap each side of cover. And as he talked it through, for the first time, I could really see that it's not just all biff, bang, whack. There's calculation there as well.
I think he's changed the way batting is taught. No longer do you need footwork. Because that was non-existent in the last 100 of his double century.
It is. I tell you, Richard, it's a fair point because you and I and Brendan, Candice, we'd have grown up where the first rule of the textbook, you put your foot to the pitch of the ball. And what does that show? The most destructive century we've ever seen had no footwork. So, but I tell you what thing he did do, he kept still. He kept still and he kept his eye on the ball. And that's even more important than footwork.
At first, it was kind of, for me, it was the innings. I thought the greatest innings no one ever saw, because at this stage, when he went in, Australia were in some serious bother. And I switched it off.
7-91, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to be beaten by Afghanistan. Now, we have got the semi-final next Thursday in Kolkata against South Africa, who are in red-hot form. Can we beat them?
Yeah, and hey, I can't wait for next Thursday because South Africa have got a horrendous record for choking in World Cups.
Yeah.
I rang up my old mate, South African journalist Neil Manthorpe, who said that even when they were winning, undefeated a few weeks ago, the South Africans were saying, oh, we know where this is heading, a bloody semi-final against bloody Australia.
Yes.
But the thing is, and the additional layer of pressure, Candice, for them is simply this. Their rugby union team, the South African ones, who recently won the World Cup, they're the team that can win from anywhere.
Yeah.
3 1-point victories in a row, and the poor old cricket team are the ones who could lose from anywhere. So it's quite something, it really is.
Looking at the team as a whole, Crash, I thought it was really interesting. I read an article earlier in the week about Matthew Hayden, former test opener, said he wouldn't ever entertain a coaching role after the treatment of Justin Langer. And he mentioned that no former great player of Australian cricket is operating at any level within that team unit. Do you consider that an issue?
Oh, no, I don't, because, look, you've just heard on the highlights from Daniel Vettori, who's about as wise a head as you can possibly get. He's in the coaching staff, you know, a former New Zealand captain, beautiful spin bowler. So I love Matthew's loyalty to Justin Langer.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. But, look, the current coaching staff, are going okay. So
it is funny, though. He made those comments, but in February, when asked on Star Sports in India, would he coach the Australian team? He actually said yes. And now he's gone and said he wouldn't.
I bet if the Indians offered him like $3 million to coach one of the IPL sides, he'd do that too.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? But there is one thing I do believe when we go to England and places like that, I do like the thought of having a sort of a mentor like a Stephen Waugh or Ricky Ponting, who I felt added so much during 2019 Ashes, for just sometimes just sitting around, just being in the dressing room and having a batsman who's going in, sitting beside him. So I do think it shouldn't be underplayed. There's a little bit of a disconnect between the former greats and the team because of the Justin Langer thing, but it's easing. The tension is easing a bit.
All right. Crash Craddock, an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us. This is a one-word answer from you. Can anyone beat India in this World Cup?
Yes, and I'll give it. Got a little tip for you, a surprise.
Mm.
Don't be shocked if it's New Zealand in the semi-final because, Candice, it would just be New Zealand to do.
Absolutely,
when no one's giving them any chance at all, they suddenly become a chance. So you're telling me I'm a chance?
That's and then they'll choke in the final.
Yeah, that's right.
Robert Crash Craddock, you can read his wonderful gear in the Daily Telegraph. You can see him on Fox, often beside you.
Absolutely,
on the back page.
On the
Candice.
Back page, yeah. He occupies a seat next to me, and he's the best.
Always a bit of fun.
We've had some laughs, haven't we?
We sure have.
None of which we can share on air. Good on you, Crash. Have a good one, mate.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Deadset Legends Sports Update.
The NRL has been forced into a bit of a rethink of its first round draw following complaints from the host broadcasters after the draft schedule for 2024 was leaked earlier this week. Yes, it's a good question.
Yeah, no, I think I have the answer to this.
It reeks of a bit of, hey, what do you guys reckon?
Yeah.
What do you think?
You put it out there through a journo. Everyone goes, that's wrong. That's got to be fixed.
Yeah.
And you take it back and say, see, the leak was wrong. This is actually what we're doing.
Well, they went too early.
Yeah.
Well, Channel 9 reckons it needs a bit of a rejig. They've got the Knights Raiders playing on the Thursday night. They would rather, by the sounds of it, the Eels and Bulldogs.
I would assume that the NRL and the Channel 9 would sit down together and work all this out, would they not?
I think they might now. Certainly, right. If they haven't already.
I think that's what they're doing now.
Yeah. Through the media, which doesn't make any sense. This is what it looks like at the moment. You've got round zero locked in, Rabbitohs, Sea Eagles, Broncos, Roosters. That's over in Vegas. At the moment, Knights, Raiders, Warriors, Sharks. That'll be a good game. Storm, Panthers, round one.
Ooh.
And wowzers.
The timing of this leak, just after the spring racing season has come to a crescendo, and then we get ourselves back in the media again.
Too early to be talking about round one?
There's no pause, is there?
Never.
There's no pause.
They've got to get in there, get their heads and, you know, in the paper. And
it's a machine, baby. There is a bit of a pause for Raymond Fatala Mariner, though. The Bulldogs 2023 club captain has been told to stay away from pre-season training.
What?
That's not a great start.
What?
To their...
They're trying to get rid of him, right?
Well, he's got 2 years left on his
deal. They're trying to wait him out.
$400,000 a year, I reckon. He can't find a club, though, is what I'm hearing.
How hard is he trying?
But he's not the on-field leader. So Reid Marnie and Matt Burton, they're the on-field. So it's all a bit weird, but apparently this started...
He's club captain. That's the title.
Yeah, but apparently this started when...
I don't know.
A group of the Polynesian players approached him to have a chat to Coach Cameron Serraldo about some, they were unhappy about training requirements.
What, too hard?
Well, we're not too sure. And he approached them, and Serraldo has then sort of backed himself and said, no, the way we train is fine. We know that there was that incident with the Bulldogs late in the season where the player walked out after the training drill of being tackled and wrestled and all that kind of stuff. But there's lots going on at the Bulldogs. On Wednesday, they confirmed that the Roosters, Jake Turpin and Drew Hutchinson was going to join them. Kurt Mann and from the Knights, Dolphins forward. I mean, there's so much going on there. They've got 9 new players. They need to offload some players to allow these players to come.
Jade's a Bulldog supporter. He's called in on 133353. You wanted to comment on this, mate?
Thanks so much for taking my call. Yeah, it's, you know, I've heard a lot, particularly over the last few months with the whole Raymond Saitala Marina. And I mean, I'm suspecting that there's got to be way more to it than just the captain approaching a coach to say that, you know, some of the players have had an issue with the training regime. I mean, I'm sure that happens a lot where a captain will have discussions with their coach.
You think that would be his job as being a captain?
100%, 100%. So for me, it kind of feels like there's probably something more to it. You know, I trust that, you know, obviously we're hearing things, you know, within the club and, you know, there's some, you know, some issues and stuff like that. But I trust as a Bulldog supporter who's really passionate about it that, you know, the club's been run well from a management perspective. And so I suspect that there's probably something more to it.
All right. 100%. Well, it's a line in the sand thing. We'll just leave it. The line's not great, Jay, but thanks for your comments.
But you think that they would, if it was something to with him personally, would they not just remove the captaincy from him?
Don't say anything. Right? If you're a player and you've got a new coach, you just shut up and do what he says.
Well said. If it doesn't work out, he'll get the Basil brush anyway.
Well said.
But if the players are unhappy, they should be able to approach the coach or get the captain to approach the coach.
No,
I
disagree.
But it's the way you go about it, because from what I was hearing, there were all these clandestine texts, and it's like, oh, you tell him, it's like if you've got an issue, go and, you know, address it head on, I would have thought.
And you'll get your legs cut out from under you. That'll be the consequence.
Anyway, in saying all this, I think the Bulldogs are going to have a much better season. They've got Stephen Crichton going there, Jamin Salmon, Blake Taff, Josh Curran, Bronson Sherry.
Yeah.
He's going there. So they're recruiting a lot of people.
But are they're recruiting the right people? I mean, that sounds like a lot of fringe players to me.
Well, that's probably all you can get.
Yeah.
You know, people not...
Well, no, they've got a war chest.
Well, yeah, but are people lining up to play at the Bulldogs given their recent history?
I would. I reckon they're building something.
Well, of course you would.
5 years from now.
No one else would want you.
The Bulldogs have got such a great history that I think if they can just get back to playing Bulldog style of football and creating that culture that they once had, then I think that they could do it.
And you know what? That starts with the players just knuckling down and doing the job. Right? And if the job is what the coach says it is, that's how coaches work. You can't have a coach who's not in control.
Rusty's Motorsport Update. For Bendix, Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
You can always check out the Rusty's Garage podcast. That's on the Listener app. Morning, Rusty.
The grey hair confirms that I am old, mate, too.
I was going to go with K-Rust.
Hey, Rust.
Yeah, Krusty.
Krusty, nice. Hey, this weekend you're at the Bathurst for the World Tour, my home away from home. I've been there twice, but it's my home away from home. Will Brown showed the international drivers just how good the Aussies are last week, but there's a little bit of tension about the standard of racing, Rusty.
Yeah, there is. I'm broadcasting from the Brendan and Anakin corporate suite.
Yes. Here, they did rename it. Okay, good. Good. They got my letter.
You believe that?
Yeah.
The racing at Sydney Motorsport Park was terrific. So we kind of blended the internationals with the Australian Championship, and it got elbows out. So to the point where it made some of the internationals bristle, and even Will Brown said on a social media post, the racing was quote-unquote disrespectful, but damn awesome at the same time. So the fans were the winners, and the nicest endorsement, I reckon, this week is to hear these visiting drivers say of all the championships they've gone to around the world this year, this has been the toughest, the best and most professionally run, and they've really enjoyed it. So they've had a good 2 weeks here in Australia.
Now, Rusty, finally, the supercars have announced their calendar for next year, but there's only 12 rounds. Are you surprised by that?
I'm a little bit gutted if I'm on a personal, you know, in terms of a personal view on it. I would have
dirty dozen.
Out, hey?
A dirty dozen.
Well, coming out of COVID, okay, you want to condense things, get back on track, but we're through that now, and I would have thought we'd be starting to spread our wings a little bit more. So it's a condensed championship next year. Unfortunately, the Bend in South Australia, which is this multi-million dollar beautiful venue, it misses out on the calendar next year, but they have been given an endurance race in 2025. They're going to have their own 500 kilometre race there, most likely in place of Sandown. So that's a little win for those guys. So, I mean, they're off to New Zealand, and we still at least have the key things on the calendar with Gold Coast and Bathurst and so on. But, yeah, I just thought, Candice, we'd be starting to get a bit more zing in the calendar once again.
Why, though, Rusty? Why is it truncated? Why?
I think it's just a reflection of the sport wanting to be careful as it grows again here at the moment.
Right.
So, do
finances.
I just think do what you do, do it well, and don't overstep the mark.
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure I'm happy with that answer. Anyway,
I'm thrilled with it. I'm quite happy with it, Rusty.
Okay. What about Bono's bro love for Dan Ricciardo? Where did that come from?
Bro love. Bromance is what you mean.
This is crazy. I've been playing at that Sphere, as you know, in Las Vegas, and everything kind of starts to wind down in Vegas this coming week because the F1 race is on there in about 7 days' time. It's going to be huge. We should be broadcasting from there, but that's another story. So in wrapping up a concert the other night, he drew attention for the audience about the fact that F1 was going to be in town, and he introducing the band as they often do, made parallels with some of the band members with, Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, and so on. And the band likened Bono to Daniel Ricciardo as the lead singer. So I think that sort of underscores the rock star status that our Aussie has.
Well, there you go. And by the way, you can't have love without romance. Ask anyone.
Yeah, but I wouldn't Google bro love. Or do if you're so inclined, but definitely not at work. It's all thanks to Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence. What's wrong?
You're showing your age, Richard.
Yeah, it is
bro love. That'll do, man.
Just fall on your sword on that one. We'll catch you next week, Rusty.
Bro love. See you, gang.
See you, man.
I'm with you, brother.
If it happened overnight, you'll hear it in the Triple M Dead Set Legends Sports Update.
This might be good for Madge Maguire as he starts his reign as Origin captain for the Blues.
Coach.
What did I say? Captain.
Well,
he can play if he wants.
Captain coach.
Why not? Go a full Wally Lewis at the Seagulls in the early 90s. What a reference. The Blues have a big advantage in next year's State of Origin series. Game 2 locked in for the MCG. They've got a dominant record over the Maroons there. Queensland last won in 1995.
Right.
I don't like it.
What don't you like about it?
I don't like a rectangle game being played on an oval.
Absolutely fair.
Fair comment that.
That's probably why it's only been played there five times since 1995. Yeah,
I've actually been to a State of Origin game in Victoria. You are, at times, a long way from the pitch and probably better off, I shouldn't say this, watching it on TV.
Yeah, but it's all about the money, isn't it?
It is.
The first State of Origin game is so important. You know, I don't know that it should be played elsewhere, but anyway.
Well, it's game 2.
Just me. Yeah.
It's game 2.
I thought you said game 1.
Yeah, there you go. No, that's all right. Oh, well, I called him the captain of New South Wales. We need to get our stuff together.
Yeah.
Michael Jennings, what about this? The Roosters are set to offer 35-year-old Michael Jennings a train and trial contract for 2024 after his 3-year doping ban is up.
I don't get it. It doesn't seem like
even
a Roosters thing to do.
Even for depth, I don't understand that.
I don't get it either.
Mm.
No, 35.
It's not really something that the Roosters would do or has done before. So I can't quite get my head around it as to what he would bring to that team.
No.
No one does. Okay.
Moving
can't
on.
Can't work that.
Tip of the cap to Meg Lanning, Aussie women's cricket captain. Meg Lanning announced her immediate retirement from international team duties after a decorated 241-game career. What about this? 13 years, 7 World Cup victories.
Oh, no, yep. She's phenomenal.
She also won the Ashes 3 times. She just was a phenomenal leader, inspired and still continues to inspire so many young girls and boys to pick up a cricket bat. I mean, she's just an amazing ambassador for the game.
And she could still be playing, but she just said, I just felt that I wasn't there 100% like I had been before, and that's time
and
to leave.
She was very emotional with her announcement.
As you would be.
Yeah. And she'll be sorely lost.
Mm.
She's an incredible, credible person and player.
A sadder story for Steve Corica. After 19 years with Sydney FC, he's been axed as the club's head coach after the team's worst ever start to a season,
I'm blaming Richard for this.
Me too.
What did I do?
You asked him about his undies, his lucky undies.
No, I asked him about sorry.
You were mocking me.
Okay, well then it's your fault.
It is my fault. I should have said
remember,
that.
Remember, I said, yeah, a lot of sports people have lucky undies. And you went, oh,
well, you're always talking about,
I scoff at you often.
Well, you're always talking about people's undies.
You are, actually.
So I just assumed it was you.
Very disconcerting.
But it's come from you, Brenda.
That is, you're confusing that with, you're conflating it with when he asked Angus Glover from the Sydney Kings about his undies.
Who confirmed that he did.
Well, I know, but you went on a real, you were really obsessed
with. Why didn't you ask Crash about his undies?
That's not a mental picture anyone should have.
Great ex-undies. He joined us a bit earlier.
Sorry, Crash.
Former Wellington Phoenix boss Ufuk Talay has been named as Corica's replacement. He did some great things over at Wellington for many years, so he'll be a great replacement.
Okay. Well, sorry for Steve, because he's been a stalwart of that club. And
yeah.
He's just been iconic. I hope they send him off with dignity.
Is it a little bit too early in the season to do this?
Not really.
I think the drums had been beating for him for a little bit from the...
Usually it's a hangover from the season before. They say, oh, we'll give him one more. You know, that unfortunately, that's kind of what happens.
Well, they demand excellence too because, three losses to start the season? That's never happened before since 2005. So, I mean, it's incredible.
Yep, something had to give. And unfortunately, it was Steve Corica.
Well, there's only two types of coach. You know that.
What's that?
You know the old saying.
No, I don't. Never heard of it.
Those who've been sacked and those who are going to be.
Yes, absolutely fair. Pause for laughs.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
Richard's list of grievances.
You ever meet people?
Yes.
And the first thing they launch into when you're talking to them, even if you don't want to, is how they're somehow related to some famous person of the past. Like they're a member of some exclusive club.
Nah, never.
I've had it all the time. And the questions they ask, like in Sydney, you're just waiting for the Sydney question, which is, where do you live? Because that's how they find out how much money you've got.
Right.
And that's what they want to find out. And in Melbourne, they ask you, what school do you go to? And that sort of lets them figure out what little power
they do that
you're in.
Brisbane, too. Yeah. It's all about the high school.
It's when you're
in your 40s and they're like, what high school did you go to?
It's sickening and it's boring. You know, someone says, oh, yeah, I'm related to Churchill. I go, I don't care.
Oh, like celebrity wise? Yeah. You know, I was briefly related to Michael Bevan.
I don't care.
Okay.
Right? I don't care who you're related to. Why would anyone care who anyone else is related to?
You know. I'm sure a couple of listeners will be like, oh, how did that happen? They'll never know because you don't give a rat's.
I agree with you. If someone told me they were related to Winston Churchill, I wouldn't give a rat's.
No. I would.
No.
Very much.
And no one ever says, I'm related to Adolf Hitler. No one says that.
No.
Right?
And probably rightly so. Yeah.
No one's proud of that.
No.
It's just boring.
Imagine, people
have got 1,000 ways to bore you. Like, you know, if you say, I'm in the racing game, you know, they ask you what you do. I'm horse racing. And they go, oh, yeah, my great uncle, right? And I'm thinking, really? There's thousands and thousands of people in the horse business, and there has been for decades, generations.
I tell you.
And I want to hear it.
I would be impressed if someone said, you know what, back in the day, I'm related to Willy Wonka. Then my ears would prick up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Then I'd be interested.
If someone said to me, I'm related to a zebra,
that
would interest
me. That's quite incredible.
Yes.
For you to be functioning the way you are as a human, to be half horse?
Correct. That would pique my interest.
That's amazing.
So if you're going to say something, say you're related to a chicken or something.
Can I just ask very quickly who the person was that pissed you off, who they were related to? Just who they were related to.
Someone said they were related to an Indian prime minister. I can't even remember which
Modi.
One.
Yeah.
No, before that.
That is boring. I'll cop
Indira Gandhi, I think.
Okay.
Right. And I said, really? Oh, that's nice. You know, and just sort of
There's nowhere to go.
Off.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
Shuffled off.
You know what? That's fair. Absolutely fair.
Yep.
That's fair.
It's fair.
It's not a bad one.
It's a bad one, but it's fair.
At least come up with something good. If you're going to say you're related to someone, just make it interesting.
Just make it interesting. Okay. Not
Ronald
nothing.
McDonald or something.
Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
Are you related to him?
Incredible if you're related to Willy Wonka too, because they're all fictional.
Just say yes.
Yes, I am.
That's Legends on Sydney's Triple M. We'll catch you next week.